90 movies from the 90s. Let's go ahead now. 90 movies from the 90s. Let's get it on now.
Welcome to the Freaks of Nature podcast. This is 90 greatest movies of the 90s. And this week we have, in my opinion, one of the greatest movies ever made, not just in the 90s. 100% pure adrenaline, relentless action, breathtaking surf, skydiving cinematography, and the multi-layered performances of Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. This is Point Break.
Okay. I like the intro. Where to begin on this one? This was the first time I ever saw it. I missed this movie throughout the 90s. But I know you've had a love affair with this movie since you were a kid.
I think for literally our entire friendship, I have like given you an incredible amount of shit for not ever seeing this movie.
Oh yeah, it's been as relentless as the action is in this movie. So was you badgering me to watch this for 20 years. But it took a podcast project for me to finally get off my ass or on my ass and watch the fucking thing. And I really liked it.
I'm glad to hear that. That's awesome. This might be the easiest podcast that we do then.
You know, well, I want to dispute one thing you said there. Relentless action. I don't think the action in this movie is relentless. I think the action in this movie is perfectly built up to with a cast of characters that you care about or are interested in. And then the action means so much when it finally gets there that when you're done with this movie, you feel like it was relentlessly like hitting you with action at every turn, but really it's not.
That is true. That falls into the multi-layered performances comment because it's incredible. It's like you spend so much time with all these characters, and by the end of the movie, you and somehow Johnny are still on Bodhi's side.
Yeah, even when he makes the ultimate heel turn of kidnapping Tyler there, I was still like, man, this seems out of character for him. And then he starts explaining it, and you're like, you know, he really doesn't want to do this. Like, it doesn't feel like he does. Maybe he does, but I'm not getting this feeling that he's like a bad guy. It's just, you know, in a bad situation.
Yeah, like, I have wanted to name every one of my kids after Bodhi.
Still working on it.
Eventually, it's going to work out. But this was like, this movie, I don't know, man. When I watched it, like I said, I watched it as a kid. So I was all, like, I'm glad the world finally caught up and realized Keanu Reeves is fucking awesome. I don't know what took, you know, over 30 years for the world to be like this in love with Keanu Reeves, but you know, I was a Bill and Ted fan growing up when I was real young, and Speed, one of my favorite movies too. So like when I saw this, first of all, you have Keanu Reeves, and this I think might have been my introduction, at least that I'm aware of, to Gary Busey. Like, I'm sure maybe I watched Lethal Weapon, but I never, like, recognized him as Gary Busey.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, as far as, like, never thinking about Gary Busey and Lethal Weapon in the same sentence. Like, he's in it, he's the main villain, but you don't really think about him as being in that movie. And this movie is a wild different turn from that. To me, this was inspired casting because he's a good guy, and he never does a heel turn. He's just kind of like this good guy cop. They even tease it when he gets those meatball sandwiches during the heist scene. And you think like, oh man, he's making him go get those sandwiches because he's fucked up. But no, he just wanted the meatball sandwiches. He's just an honest guy.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious.
Everybody fucking hates him too. And thinks he's an asshole for implying that these guys are surfers. And like, there's justification and everything. Like, he's right the whole time.
Yeah, he's his he's a really good cop, but the, you know, he's stuck in this like old ass cop role where these other cops are like hot shots and like, oh, you're an asshole. But he's just like the, he's the most honest guy out of all of them. And then, you know, he finally gets his comeuppance on the chief and doesn't last very long after that, which was really sad. Really bummed me out, actually. His death scene.
Like one thing that always happens in this movie, every time I watch it, I'm like, man, I wish there was like a deleted scene or a director's cut where Ange survives this shit. Or like, you see him in the hospital.
I was like, I'm okay if he turns heel as long as I don't have to watch him die as a good guy. I was like, oh, man, it just, it hit really well because he, like, the chemistry he actually had with Keanu Reeves, Gary Busey in this movie is really good. To me, it should be the template of what you do with a buddy cop movie, which I know this isn't a buddy cop movie, but it has that element to it.
It for sure has that like buddy cop 48 hours feel to it a little bit.
Yeah. Pretty like you could replace Gary Busey with Nick Nolte in 48 hours and it would be just as good after seeing him in this role, which I would not have said that before watching this movie.
And then, on top of what we already talked about as far as casting goes, we have not. Lori Petty. We'll get to Lori Petty, but I almost.
Okay.
I got sidetracked because there's a group of surfers who fucking kick Keanu Reeves' ass. And like my entire life, even like as an adult, I always have to remind myself that they aren't the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah, they could be. I was like, who the fuck are these guys?
It almost felt like a cameo to me, right? Like this group of surfers, and they're the people that they suspect are the fucking presidents of the United States.
And yeah, they're just
in my mind's eye, I just always see Anthony Kiedis and Fleas.
Yeah, dude. If you would have told me on this like fun fact, I'd be like, oh yeah, I would believe you because they're like indistinguishable.
I almost did it, but like, yeah, he has like these shaved fucking parts of his head and they like come into braids. It looks exactly like Anthony Kiedis from the 90s.
So having not seen this movie before, I didn't know what the twists were going to be, or I had somehow not been spoiled on this movie. So I thought maybe those guys were going to be a part of the crew or something. Like I knew that Patrick Swayze was the bad guy, but I didn't know to what extent. And I wouldn't even say bad guy, but you know, the main antagonist. So I was surprised at some of the turns here, especially when they kidnap Keanu Reeves and take him on the heist. I thought that was wild. I did not expect that.
Yeah. And he like fucked his knee up again. There's so much really good foreshadowing in this movie, dude.
Isn't it great how much he sells that knee? They like it's like the psychology of a wrestling match.
Yeah.
Like right when the point where he needs that knee, it goes. It's fucking, I was like laughing. I was like, this dude sells his knee better than most of the fucking wrestlers these days. Like, this is great.
Yeah, it's so fucking good. And then like, you just look at this character and he probably wouldn't even become the cop that he is without Bodhi as a mentor, which is ironic because this is almost like this weird coming of age for young Johnny Utah too. Like, I don't think he becomes as good of a cop by the end of this movie, even if he's on this case and just never meets Bodhi. Like he does, there's all this personal growth and like turmoil within for the fact that he, like, this dude has become his best friend. And
yeah, it's like nothing about these characters are one note at all. Like the bad guy, like Bodhi, he believes in his philosophy of the world. And it's like, he's only a bad guy because he's like trying to live this lifestyle by robbing banks. Really, he's not like a bad guy.
Yeah, they have weapons and shit, but they never fire until they have to. He has like this Manson family level type fucking stupid following, and then they could be way worse than what they are. where he just he's just chasing that storm, man.
Yeah, but it's, and it's also, he doesn't just toss his like cronies away when it's convenient. Like, he stays with that guy as he's dying in the bank, and the other dude gets shot in the airplane. He still gives him a parachute to go down to the ground with him. Like, he has first guys. Like, there's like a genuine love there between these characters, and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, and he's also still doing fucking kick-ass karate moves.
Yeah.
It's his classic Patrick Swayze.
No, I will admit, okay, one scene, the skydiving scene, like, I get why it's there, and it makes perfect sense in the story and stuff. But, like, you know, that's, maybe that scene doesn't hold up as well if I have to criticize anything about this movie. Because we've seen so many skydiving scenes since, you know?
It's weird that you'd say that, because I was going to say, after you said parachute, I was going to say, dude, how great is that fucking skydiving scene?
Oh, no.
That music's really playing, good. And it's like this trust-building thing where he doesn't think that they're going to give him a parachute that works. Like, the tension is fucking there because they know. At this point, they know. And he could have just gave him a parachute that sucks. He could have fell to his death.
Yeah, which I guess does build up the trust for the next scene. And when he's like, hey, we got your chick and we're going to fucking kill her. Not because we want to, but because we got to get this done. So I guess you're right. But I just thought it was a sort of an excuse to try out some parachute cameras and stuff.
Well, probably, but in early 90s, that's kind of innovative.
I mean, I got to say, though, like, I could see somebody hearing us talk so great about this movie and going and watching it and not liking it. I will say, look, it's an action movie, and it's not, I'm not going to say it's a dumb movie. It's not a dumb movie. But there's some preposterous stuff in there, but you just kind of have to follow it, you know? You just have to let it take you. Like, it's about the characters. Like, don't overthink some of the little things. Just roll. Like, the whole part with him getting arrested and stuff, and it's like that classic thing of just let him explain the situation. And they're like, shut it. But, you know, they don't like him anyways because he's hanging out with the old dude. But, you know what I mean? It's a minor criticism. I'm not even criticizing it for that, because there's going to be way dumber movies on this list. But, you know, it's not fucking, it's not like The Town, okay? It's not The Town in that how much they thought about every, like, little chess piece. Like, some stuff just kind of, like, goes, you know?
The Town is a really good comparison to this movie. It's similar in a lot of ways. And I would put that, that's a good comparison. I always compare it, because it clearly is a fucking ripoff, to The Fast and the Furious. I feel like people who see The Fast and the Furious before this movie.
Holy shit, like, dude. I didn't even think about that.
Dude, The Fast and the Furious is literally Point Break with cars.
Dude, you're fucking right. Including Vin Diesel as Bodhi. And like, he's man, fuck.
If Point Break ever had sequels, Bodhi would be the fucking main character.
I just lost. Not that I'm like a huge fan of the franchise anymore, but man, they really did. They really just fucking ripped it off.
Every single bullet point.
You have instead of surfboards, they have cars.
Yeah.
Well, that just goes to show you that 10 years after this movie came out, they were already trying to rip it off. Still ripping it off. This movie's way better than Heat.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Of all of these movies that are of similar ilk, this is the best one, I think. And when you say The Town, like, you know how much I love The Town and Ben Affleck. Everybody that knows me knows that. Like, I went out and I got The Town, the book, and I read it before I watched the movie, when the movie was in theaters. So I, like, it was released, and then I grabbed the book, I read it, and then I went and I saw the movie. It's like, this is still better.
Damn, you're this. Well, I can see where the Town gets a little corny in some spots and is a little more sappy and sentimental.
There's three different versions of that movie, too.
Yeah.
And each one is good, but they all have, like, their points where, Like, it's almost like Blade Runner, where it's like, well, which cut are you going by with, or Apocalypse Now, where there's so many cuts of the movie. This is Point Break, and it's just one cut, and it only needed one cut to be what it is.
Yeah, there's a couple things we also need to address. Lori Petty, which she's great in this movie. Like, she's not your traditional like a Kim Basinger around this time. You know how they would cast a typical woman in this movies. She's got short hair. She's a little bit of an attitude. You know, that this was early 90s, not before that became like in vogue.
Yeah, no, she was always kind of typecast as like as that girl lesbian. And so, like, to have this role, which is not quite leading lady, but up there. The only other role that's similar to this, I feel, would be in the Army Now. I guess she had a run here, and it started with this movie. And Free Willy, believe it or not, dude, Free Willy. Like, if you ever go back and watch that movie, like, the adult actors, the acting in that movie is, like, superb. She's great in that movie.
I didn't know she was in that.
Oh, dude, she's in it. And it's also probably Michael Madsen's best movie ever.
Better than Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah, dude, he is so good in that movie, man.
I don't know.
You have no idea. It's probably Michael Madsen's best performance.
Like, so, it's just secretly an Oscar-worthy performance in this fucking whale movie.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's, like, as an adult, you just think of it as that whale movie. But I watched it as an adult, so I know. Like, it's not just like some movie that they had Michael Jackson sing a song for. But yeah, that big run in the 90s started with this movie. And like, if anything, becoming a kidnapped damsel in distress is like the only thing that kind of hurts her as far as being like this strong female character. But it's also a early 1990s movie, and that's bound to happen. Unapologetically, that's what the world was like. Sorry.
Hey, it added the tension to the movie that made him, without that, what do you have? You know, you'd have to rewrite the whole fucking last act of the movie. And I wouldn't change that. I wouldn't change him in the bank, like being forced to be in this fucking robbery and shit. Like, that was, the tension was real, gets real high. And I want to call out that on foot chase scene is still exhilarating today. You watch that, dude. I had to pause the movie for a minute after that.
Oh yeah, dude. That, like, when he throws the pit bull at him too, like, everything about it.
Like, you want him to catch him so bad, and it's like every step of the way he's getting close, but not. And like, it felt like so organic of where they're running through and shit. It didn't feel set up at all. It was just so fucking nail biting. And then he hurts his knee again, of course, and doesn't shoot the guy. It's just fucking brilliant action sequences. The car chase before that too, man. You want to talk about like practical effects and get two guys in real cars on real streets? Dude, that was, oh man, the adrenaline from that is like, there's more in that scene from the entire Fast and Furious series.
Yeah, yeah, that's, and then like, even at the end, as far as adrenaline goes, right? So the final fucking sequence of the movie, after Bodie's escaped, you cut to like months later, he's at the beach, and then he just strolls up to him, right? And they're just talking, and he's like, I can't let you surf, man. You got to come in. That scene, that last fight scene where he like cuffs him in the water.
It was great because you really didn't know what was going to happen. And then it's really funny though. He's like, he lets him go out to surf and he just goes and he tries to get up and just immediately fucking drowns. Kind of made him look like an asshole. Like, wow. So that's what you were doing out here, huh?
That's the storm that he was chasing this whole time. He knew it was going to happen too. Like, he knew he was going to die surfing that surf.
Yeah, and he barely surfed it. He just knew he was going to die trying.
And they always wanted to do a sequel, and they were like moving forward to it when he ended up having cancer. So they shelved it, but Bodhi was going to survive that.
Wait, they were going to do a sequel for like 30 years later?
Yeah, like it was going to start like he had fucking survived and was like living secretly.
That would be awful, though, if you think about like direct, it could be like a direct to video thing, like so many bad sequels, like Bulletproof 2 that we have to watch at some point for this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it would be like. It would be on that level.
It would have been better than the 2015 remake of Point Break.
Do we want to talk about that? That exists? I keep forgetting that exists.
Everyone has forgotten that it exists. I know one person who's watched it, and he said that my opinion about it was exactly right, 100%. Now, I tried to watch it, even though I clearly was going into it with severe hatred and indifference at best, but it completely missed the point of the movie. And in 2015, extreme sports, nobody even gave a shit anymore. Like, that's not like that was a 90s, very early 2000s thing.
No, man, the Point Break is of a time, like even the setting, the way the cars look, the way the neighborhoods look, California, early 90s, like that's a character of the movie itself. I just don't think that's something you can remake unless you do something completely original. And that movie had that like generic ass looking, slick looking, just bad look that a lot of movies have nowadays, a lot of action movies and stuff. Like, to me, it looked like those, like that Lethal Weapon show or something, just like missing the point, not having the soul of the original thing.
Yeah. And that's what Point Break is. It's soul. So where does Point Break fall for you? Heading towards wrapping the pot up phase.
Well, we have Ace Ventura, we have Candyman and Point Break. I think Point Break is number one right now, and Candyman 2 and Ace Ventura 3.
Yeah, that's how I was gonna land.
Like, also, dude, I love Candyman, but
just 1 second, because I have this on. I like to put these on in the background. When they're escaping as the presidents and they have the fucking shit on their face, how badass is it when he grabs the lighter and lights the gasoline and is just shooting gasoline out of the gas pump?
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. That's when the movie really took off with the action scenes. You're like, fuck yeah. It's real fire and everything. It's, yeah.
They like fucking roll around in the fire when they're fighting. It catches on fire.
It's like, how can these chill surfer dudes be such badasses in masks, bank robber guys? Like, it's why it works so well. But so many movies did the president masks thing after that, but none of them, I think, now seeing this have ever compared to this.
No. The only other time that a Nixon mask looked good in a movie was when they did it in Men of Work. But yeah, dude, I think it's easily number one, and I think it's the movie to beat too. Like, I don't know what can beat Point Break for me. This could be my number one the whole way through.
Well, we said on the Candyman episode that, man, Candyman's going to be hard to beat, but it really wasn't. We beat it this last episode.
Point Break is vastly superior.
I rank this a full star above Candyman for sure, so there's no way. Like, as much as I like Candyman, it's not this. Maybe Candyman might be smarter in certain ways, but damn, this movie has it all, I think. I have nostalgia for this movie, and I never watched it before, so that tells you where this movie fills a void at, like what era and stuff. It just hits.
Yeah, I'm super, super glad that you didn't come in the way that we came at each other on Ace Ventura.
I was going to hint at you that I was going to come in on Point Break bad, but I couldn't even do that because I was like thrilled with that movie.
Yeah, but okay then. So Point Break, number one so far. Fantastic news that you liked it. Do we have an idea what we're going to do for the next one?
Well, since full disclosure, Jason didn't get a chance to watch Point Break. but he's been in the background in this episode listening to us. I think maybe we should give him a chance to pick a movie, one that he could acquire and watch. What do you think?
What do you got, Jason?
I'll have to find the list, which I think is right here.
I love the sound of uncrinkling paper, though, for real.
Okay. Is this our list?
No, it's your other 90s list.
Well, I had several lists. Hey, Bonnie. Let me see. About Dark City.
That's not on the list.
Okay, so that's not the right list then.
Biodome! The next movie we're going to watch for 90 for the 90s is Biodome, starring Pauly Shore and the one Baldwin.
Well, it's Stephen Baldwin, and that is on the list, but I thought we were going to do a Pauly Shore episode with all of them.
Oh, I don't know. Shit. This is falling apart because of Jason's fucking clownish behavior.
I have my list. Let me look. Did you email the list, right? I can go to my fucking email.
Dude, it's in the freaksnn@gmail.com, by the way, everybody, if you want to email.
Want to email
That's
us.
Our email.
See, I was just...
But it's right there in the email. There's not a lot of emails in there.
I was just, you know, here it is.
I should never have surprised you with anything.
Yeah, you shouldn't have. That was rude.
In the meantime, I have lost my Point Break case.
You have what? List.
I lost my case for Point Break.
Oh, no.
Can't seem to figure out what I do with it.
I'm going to have to get this. I'm gonna buy this movie. I might get the Blu-ray or something.
Okay, I got the list. I got the fucking list. How about fucking... I'm thinking Waterworld.
Ooh.
That's good. That's a good one. I think, unless I'm wrong, I obtained Waterworld recently, so I even have it on my shelf.
Well, are we going to watch the theatrical cut or the new released extended cut?
Well, the new release thing, I think we can't do that because it wasn't released in the 90s. That was based off of a fan edit. And for some reason, when they released like the special edition, they were like, oh, okay, that's actually a better version. Let's release that officially.
Now I feel like we got to watch both and do like an update.
You couldn't even watch Point Break. You're going to watch 8 hours of fucking Waterworld? Come on. Let's do the theatrical cut, and if anybody feels froggy and wants to do the extended cut, they can bring their notes. I may be feeling like a fucking toad here. I might do it.
I just watched Waterworld on TV yesterday.
I haven't seen Waterworld since the late 90s, so I'm all the way kind of virgin on it. At this point.
Yeah, dude. I have it on my shelf, and I watched it on Stars, I think, yesterday. So I'm fresh on that. All right, Waterworld it is.
This is going to be fascinating.
I can't wait. All right. So, bye, Condia.
Stay freaky.